future has arrived.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're created to build community, created to build the kingdom of God.
There is a power when we step into our role as sons and daughters.
The kingdom of God has not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good belief.
If you want people to be creative, you got to give them permission to really explore.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We are coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And my name is Josh, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
it's
Josh.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I love it. This
so
is
good.
My favorite day of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So we're like, I hope you're like in front of your fireplace, got all your family around, some hot cocoa, some good food, enjoying that time.
Last week, we revisited some of the highlights over the past year, some of the really key moments that we had throughout the program. Today, we're going to continue that, and we're going to talk with folks like Sean Bowles, Ben Woodward, and Russell Wood, all coming up in the program today.
Yeah, we are really just celebrating 2016, such a pivotal year, Josh, in our lives and Next Gen Worship, and so many new things being birthed out of the dreaming and the encounters that we've had with Holy Spirit in 2016. And we're stewarding the things that we've encountered with other people. And that's what these clips are, these highlights are from 2016. We're just telling the story again. Listen, this was an incredible moment when we sat down and talked with this person, especially Sean Bowles.
Yeah.
Such a like heart and a very similar assignment in the earth. It's just an honor to be able to call these people friends and to be able to make these connections.
Well, it's neat. We not only have some of the people that you might be familiar with nationally, but on the program today, we also want to honor those that are really close to us, those mm-hmm. friends of ours that don't have their name in lights, that aren't really well known, but they have the same heart. They have the same message. They're speaking the same language, and they have the same authority that any of these men that are really well known have as well.
That is one of the core values in our hearts, is that we are looking at people and we are calling them up to a higher level, whether they are outside of the Midwest or in our own community. And we are placing a great value on the voices that Holy Spirit has highlighted to us. And, you know, just looking at our list here, any of these people could step on the stage and see heaven come.
Yeah.
And we are highlighting that, and we are stewarding that voice, and we are saying, hey, you have value. You are powerful. You are a powerful person. And we're just imparting courage to people to be a voice in the earth as they're called to be.
So really excited about hearing some of these highlights, these little key moments throughout the show today. And we're going to be introducing these to you and just kind of telling you a little bit about them as we go. And revisiting 2016 on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. Really excited about next week. We're going to be kind of casting some vision for 2017. It's a New Year's Day show. How often does that get to happen?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So New Year's Day, we're going to come back next week, and we're going to cast some vision, and we're going to have a very special guest on the program. I'm not going to tell you who that is, but it's a secret.
It's suspense is killing me.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So join us for that show next week. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Sean Bowles on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. Highlights 2016.
One of the things that we're doing at Next Gen Worship is stewarding what God is saying and doing in our midst. We have been experiencing an amazing movement of Holy Spirit in community and worship for a couple of years now. One of the ways that we're stewarding this movement well is through the Next Gen Worship Collective. The Next Gen Worship Collective is a record label that we have started to influence the Midwest through a new sound that God's releasing in the earth. So much new talent, music, and heartfelt expressions of worship are occurring in our region that we created this label solely to help steward that as a voice in the earth. We believe that we can capture encounters of Holy Spirit through worship, through media. We're sitting here in our brand new studio. It's nearly complete. But we need your help to take one final big step towards completion. We have had a custom heating and air system designed specifically for this studio. The cost is about $4,650, and we need your help. We'd like to ask you to partner with us to cross this one last hurdle towards creating a voice from the Midwest of worship. Your contribution will help us to empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
To donate, please go to nextgenworship.com/donate.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. It is part two of our highlights of 2016. Last week we talked with Tim Timmons and Steve Backlund, Dean DeGuar, a lot of the great interviews that we had throughout the year. And today we're continuing that. First up on the list, Mr. Sean Bowles.
Sean is incredible and a voice to this generation. You should check him out. He is carrying a mantle of good, healthy theology and what God is doing in the earth right now and what it's going to do in the generations to come.
The heart behind it is that I love the prophetic so much, but I was actually at a place a couple years ago where I got jaded with the prophetic culture that's been coming out of a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic churches. Mm-hmm. And here I was being invited to prophetic conferences and frustrated with some of the other stuff I was hearing from people, just saying, this feels self-absorbed or narcissistic, or it feels disconnected from relationship. It doesn't feel love-based. It feels very church-centric, and the prophetic of God's voice and what he's thought about and his mind culture, his heart culture, what he's thought about since the beginning of time over humanity. It's not just about how to build the church. And I just felt like, you know, we need a big reset with a love-based focus that has accountability and trackability in it. And so I wrote this book first out of a place of frustration, but then as a love letter to people to help restore people's hearts to really go after this gift with all their heart, because it's such a powerful, powerful tool to display God's love.
That's awesome. So tell me a little more about that. Like, I've even heard you use the phrase shifting culture, changing culture through the prophetic. I mean, what's the big goal rolling around in your heart when it comes to these topics?
Well, I think it goes back into Romans 8, where it talks about Jesus was the fully formed original intention of God, and we can see what God's original intention was through him. You know, we don't think of this all the time because we're very human and humans don't think about the bigger picture a lot. Mm-hmm. But I've started to look at the prophetic as a device to see what was God's original design for this stage of my life, or for this person I'm praying for who has cancer, or for this, you know, city that I'm living in, Los Angeles. If we could have back what his intention was for this stage of development, what would it be? And then how do we call the world back to that? So for me, it's like looking into the heart, the mind, and the love of God and saying, what do you have available for us, and how do we bring that design back? Because Jesus did that in his lifetime. I mean, Israel was totally corrupt, and, you know, Rome was corrupt, and he comes in the midst of one of the times where God hasn't spoke audibly in 300 years other than to Elizabeth, you know. Mm-hmm. And Jesus comes on the scene and represents, in one of the worst times in history, how beautiful God is.
Wow.
And begins to transform culture. Even when it was ugly, he was able to transform religious mindsets. And just through one power encounter, or one love encounter, or one parabolic story, most of the parables he told were common stories that were told over and over. He just put a God spin on it. And so, like, even using arts and entertainment and transformative education and these kinds of principles, like, we could be forerunners in any kind of industry right now if we just got the church is going to kingdom mindset, which is just a mindset of what God originally wanted, bringing that government into this world.
Man, Sean, what a prophetic voice in our generation. He's doing such a great work out in California and been involved in so many influential ministries across the United States. Not only is he doing this really big thing on a very global scale, but there are folks that have the same spirit of influence and authority right here in our own backyard. One of those people are Jenna Janish, and she has really been a champion of Next Gen Worship and come alongside, helped us out a lot, and carries a voice in our community.
I value her heart, and I love what she has to say about stewarding hope in everyday life.
Things that I've been thinking on recently in regards to hope is that hope is rooted in truth, and hopelessness is rooted in lies. And for me, my family has been going through a rather difficult season, but it has been one of the most fruitful seasons in our hearts regarding hope. I think that's when you really start to do battle, when things aren't going wonderfully and you start really laying hold of the truths apart from your feelings or circumstances, and learning to combat the hopeless emotions or the lies that you're hearing with the truth of God and who He is as sons and daughters of God. That's where our hope lies, is in the reality of who God is. He really is who he says he is, and he really does what he says he's going to do, and that carries us through difficult seasons and good seasons.
Mm-hmm. I heard you saying kind of in between the lines there that to encounter hope, you're kind of managing your thought life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a battle.
So talk about that. Like, let's put it in practical terms. Like, how do you steward hope in your own life as a reality?
Definitely worship. And that's not just about songs, but it's declaring who God is, mainly when you don't see it in your life. And when you're coming against a circumstance that is telling you that God isn't who he says he is and that he's not going to come through, that's telling you those lies that produce hopelessness. It is coming against those with the truth of who God is. And sometimes that means like saying it out loud to yourself all day, every day.
Yeah.
My kids like hear me talking to myself in my kitchen all the time because that's practically how we've gotten through. This is the season that we've been in, is declaring the truth of who God is and who he is for us in the midst of those times.
I love how you're talking about having worship going in your house.
Yeah.
So talk about the power of worship to steward hope.
When we see God in who he is, in that goodness, in that just ridiculous goodness that he is, and then when we start to catch glimpses of those things, that is when we can enter into hope. And without God, there isn't hope. And worship just gets your eyes onto God and away from other circumstances. And so it's kind of impossible to worship and be hopeless.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times we relegate worship to music or to singing. So what if somebody is like maybe non-musical? How do we create this atmosphere of worship in our homes or in our families?
I think that it's not necessarily singing a song, but declaring truth. And that can be singing a song, or that can be taking a scripture and saying it to yourself over and over again and meditating on that, or speaking it to yourself. Sometimes it's really a battle. And for me, in fighting this mental battle, you have to get really tough and you have to get really militant about pushing back the lies that God is not good to you, that God is not for you, that God is going to let you down. Like, I get angry about it, honestly. Like, no, my God is for me. My God loves me. My God is going to see me through. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. It's not just singing songs, although for me, obviously, that's a pathway that I use a lot. But it is fighting with truth, even when you don't feel it.
Oh, I love her heart. Another influential person, one of our daddies, a father figure in our movement, Mr. Darrell Billings.
Yeah. He's passionate about leading the earth into the destiny that God's always had for it. And he makes some really great comments about taking up our own responsibility in that mandate for heaven on earth.
Knowing the Father's heart is knowing heaven. Heaven is where God is and where God resides. It's not some ethereal place. It's in us. It's around us. It's at hand. And we are to be those who not only encounter heaven, but enlarge heaven. It's always been our command from God, if you want to call it, God's promise, that we would go into the world. There is chaos in the world, and we bring order to that chaos. And when you bring order, it's along God's way, and then it just opens up heaven. Mm-hmm. That heaven has always been here. It's like you tune the frequency enough to where you get rid of the static, and now you can see heaven has always been at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what are the practical things to continue doing that? First of all, you can try it by yourself and God will kind of honor that. But I have found in the past that the best way is to listen to what God says and do what God says. You know, I think we had a great leader, and the guy's name was Jesus, who said that's all he did.
Yeah.
He only did what the Father said and saw what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like you got a vision where you can all of a sudden open up and there it is, but it's just knowing the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Mm-hmm. What needs to be corrected?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, but we mentioned the original command to Adam and Eve in the very beginning, and talk about the word subdue, bringing the earth into its destiny. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, I mean, Adam and Eve were called to be fruitful, to multiply. We've done a great job with that with 7 billion people on the earth. To take dominion over the earth, to know that we're top dog, mm-hmm. that we are kings and queens of this dominion. then the word subdue is to bring into the destiny of. There you have to see the Father's heart and see what He wants to do, and then you get on board and you recognize that He's giving you the grace to do it. A historical input is that David saw into the Father's heart that one day people would be with the presence of God 24/7. So when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, he didn't bring it to the tabernacle of Moses. He set up his own tabernacle of David in his own backyard. And there, the high priest didn't go in one day a year. Everybody was open to go into the presence of God and see what God's doing or hear what he's saying. That was way outside of the parameters of what the high priest had in mind, because it's what God said. But David saw into God's heart for a future day, and he was able to bring that future day into the present.
Mm-hmm.
We know that someday heaven's going to be set up on earth, that yeah. Jesus is going to come back and set up on earth.
Yeah.
But if we really think about it, Jesus is already here.
Right.
In the form of Holy Spirit, Jesus abides in this temple and begins to lay out that which yet can be. I love what's happening in the area, and I especially love what you guys are doing when you put out those videos, the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
What if a community was able to live in harmony? We're working for that.
Yeah.
It's a dream of mine that someday our community will recognize that nothing is impossible with God. In other words, everything's possible if we do it with God.
Oh, Daddy Daryl.
Yeah, he's a leader in our community and a father figure. He calls himself a spiritual grandpa. But we always value what he has to say because he's put the time in.
It's so great going back and kind of reliving these moments that we had throughout the year. We're revisiting highlights from 2016. We're going to come back after the break and talk to Ben Woodward, Russell Wood, and Rachel Grindle. Stick around.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we at Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Excited about next week's program. We're going to be kind of casting some vision for 2017. It's a New Year's Day show.
Brand new year. And January 1 just happens to land on broadcast day.
Yeah.
So we're going to cast vision, and we got a great surprise in store.
Yeah, a special guest. We're not going to tell you who it is. It's a secret.
You'll have to listen.
I love teasing stuff like that because, like, oh, we've got something very special, but we're not going to tell you what it is.
No pressure on our guest.
Well, today we've been visiting some of the highlights over the past year on the broadcast and some of the people that we sat down and interviewed and talked to about very similar language, very similar hearts as to what Holy Spirit is doing throughout the earth right now.
I'm so honored and thankful for these conversations we've had with people. They have enriched our lives. They have confirmed what Holy Spirit's saying in our life, and just have a really thankful heart as we look back on all that happened in 2016.
Well, it's definitely been a journey, and yeah, we all kind of are on that journey together.
Mm.
And somebody,
that's the best part.
Somebody we talked to about that, Ben Woodward, he talks now a little bit about partnering with those hidden times.
You see it in David's life. You see this progression where David spent a significant amount of time kind of unnoticed. And it's kind of my journey of like years and years of playing music and doing worship and stuff. And you really live on the sidelines. You live serving others. You live as a shepherd. But David wasn't just called to be a shepherd, although that was a significant piece of his life. There came a point in time when all that he had learned was actually to equip him to become a warrior. And so he steps out of his role as a shepherd into this place. Unbeknownst to him, the day that David fought Goliath, he didn't wake up thinking, today's the day I'm going to fight Goliath. It just happened to him. And we see him now, he fights Goliath. He ends up killing Goliath, he ends up winning for himself kind of favor. Now he becomes a warrior, and he spends a season as a warrior, which ultimately leads him to become a king. Well, and in that kingship, now he gains a position of authority, he gains a position of influence that ultimately leads him to restore the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, which was his whole goal. Well, he wanted the presence of the Lord to be known in the city. And I think pastors, leaders, worship leaders, people in churches, we have this passionate desire to see the presence of God in the city, or to see the presence of God in a church service, or those kind of things. And we forget there's a progression in the life of David that really teaches us what the Lord is doing and how he ultimately leads to the place where David ultimately brings back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and then sets up a tent, you know, and then fills it with musicians and singers. And I think it's something that, obviously, you know, there's not enough time to fully lay out that progression and what all that means. But I do think it's curious in my own life to watch how worship is evolving and how the power of worship, the power of music, but what does that mean? What does it mean for 20 years from now? How do we make sure we're staying on course with what God wants to do? Because he really cares about his presence in cities, not just his presence on a Sunday morning in the church service. He really cares about what's taking place in the lives of the poor, the oppressed in cities. And so I think it's something that we've got to be very conscious of as worship leaders and as leaders in churches.
I love that. So talk us through that a little more. Like, how do we do that? How do the Davids of worship establish presence in a city level?
Yeah, I think it's getting out of the myopic approach. It's very easy when you're in a church environment, and it's part of a quality of leadership is you draw people to yourself, or pastors draw people in, and we can very easily think that what we do is it, or what happens in our service or what happens in our church, this is it. And if only everybody could figure that out, then they'd show up and the world would be changed, because they'd come to our service and they'd realize this is it. This is where everything is. And it's really not that way at all. I think God has unique expression. You know, Paul talks about it when he says, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Because each expression together is what represents. And I say this sometimes with a lot of students that I teach. I said, we have a job to represent what Jesus looks like. Jesus was the full expression of God in the earth. We are the body of Christ, but I can't fully represent Christ without doing it in conjunction with you, because I'm just a piece of the puzzle. You're a piece of the puzzle. When we together as a body are functioning in health, then we represent what Christ looks like in the earth. And I think that's something that has to give us a larger vision than just we need to have great music on Sunday mornings. It's like, what does it actually mean to take the power and the anointing and the expression of worship, what would it look like if that happened outside of a Sunday morning service? And I don't know where that looks like. And I have friends that do it in different places. They do it in bars and clubs and pubs and different places, out in the street corners. And I got friends of mine that in Kansas City who once a week worship at a very, very notorious street in Kansas City because they want the presence of God to reside in the city. And I think it's just getting a vision for something that's bigger than just a local church service and a local church environment.
I really have a great value for what Ben's doing in the earth. A discipler, but he's also a worshiper and has some skills now with helping people become those sons of God they're called to be.
Well, he's been all over the place and involved with everyone. In fact, we just interviewed Joshua Brown from Planet Shakers not too long ago, and he shared a story about Ben and he were on the road together in a band, and the car broke down and they fixed it with a hairpin.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Got back on the road again. Yeah. You definitely want to check out that interview with Joshua Brown and Planet Shakers, a more recent program on nextgenworship.com. Next up on the list, Russell Wood.
Yeah, Russell talks about the power of worship to shift the atmosphere over cities, and they are doing that. You want to connect with what these guys are doing. They're going to cities and wrecking them with the love of Jesus.
Well, the end goal, of course, is we use these events as a springboard, a catalyst, if you will, to push people into living a life of first love, intimacy, and mission. The thing that's going on is incredible. This thing brings unity. It brings so much just power and love to a community. Let me just rewind a little bit. We'll talk about Minneapolis. So what we did the weeks before, where we were going to individual churches and asking individual churches that let us mobilize at their church, and what that looks like is we were basically like, we want to partner with you and the seeds that God has already used you to plant for the Great Commission, and all we want to do is water it and call forth your messengers and your church to walking out this lifestyle. Wow. So we went to several churches and invited them into 7 days of 24/7 prayer, worship, and evangelism on the streets of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. So all these churches begin to kind of come together. We even have what we call a pastor's mixer right before the actual event, and it was basically the setting for the entire week. We had multiple pastors, all kinds of different denominations, all kinds of different races that came together. They had a wonderful meal, and then there was a ministry time in which we asked if we could bless the shepherds of the community by washing their feet.
Wow.
So we began to wash their feet, and then this is the incredible thing. The pastors, in return, went and got their wives, brought their wives, and began to wash the feet of their wives.
Wow.
So it turned into a very, very, very powerful, powerful thing. And then out of that unity and that heart cry and that heart posture, we launched into a week of intimacy and mission in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And it was probably one of the most fruitful outreaches I've ever seen.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, I love some of the language you're using. You're talking about marrying worship and prayer and outreach, and you talk about worship having the power to shift atmospheres. Why do you have this 24/7 type worship atmosphere going while you go out and do outreach on the streets?
Well, I can answer that with a testimony. We were in New York doing Love New York, and the worship was going on. People were worshiping the Lord, and we call it the Air Force. That the worship teams and the intercession teams are basically attacking from the sky. They're attacking principalities. They're attacking the spiritual realm, and they're making a citywide altar for the Lord, a Revelations 4 type mandate. So they're worshiping the Lord. And the most incredible thing was joy broke out in the prayer room. So people are dancing and they're worshiping. I was with a good friend of mine, Theo Sandberg, walked into a Dunkin' Donuts at 3 o'clock in the morning in Corona, Queens, one of the darkest places in New York. And basically this guy just turns around and looks at him and says,
"How do I get this free gift?"
I mean, the worship had already come in and began to till the hearts and break loose all the bondage and the chains, all of that around them and their lives, for them to be open to hearing and understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I love the concept of going into cities and just loving them with worship. I mean, this is like ground zero, what they're doing.
Yeah, they're influencing cities, and it's really exciting to see momentum happening at that level.
You can find out more about Russell Wood at trinityworks.com.
Mm-hmm.
Another influential person that is paving new roads and creating new mindsets in the kingdom, one of our new friends, Rachel Grindle.
Yeah, Rachel works with Christ in Youth, and she is a citizen of the world, does a lot of traveling, but she's also a trailblazer for women and women's voice as far as the kingdom and the earth. She has a very touching story about how to overcome obstacles and follow the dream that God's placed in your heart, no matter the cost. I know you're going to really enjoy what she has to say about that.
I think the first one happened when I was in Bible college and studying to get my bachelor's in youth ministry and preaching. And the school had me represent them on a camp team of one during the summer. And so I was sent to different camps and CIY conferences where I now work. And at one of the camps that I was at, there was just a number of things that was happening, and they didn't agree with who I was, what I represented. And so eventually, somehow it got around to the elders of the church of the camp, and they sat down essentially like in an intervention setting. And they told me, the words actually came out of their mouth, that we believe that you are taking students to the door of heaven and you are slamming it in their face and their blood is on your hands.
Oh my goodness.
And so we want to sit down and we want to teach you the Bible and we want you to understand it. And I'm like, I love reading the Bible. Let's do that. Let's go ahead and sit down and read the Bible together. And I just remember going back to the cabin that night, just bawling and just like, God, is this, did you really call me to this? Because this doesn't feel like it's worth
it. That's so rough.
Like, this feels like a complete attack. Yeah. And I'm all alone
And I've only been at the school that I'm representing now for 4 months. So they don't even fully know me, you know. They ended up sending a letter to the school asking why they sent pagans to represent the school and withdrew all support.
Wow.
And it was one of those moments of like, I mean, I had to go back and I had to call people. And this is how I got out of that moment. I called people who have walked with me before that moment and just asked them to affirm what they've seen the Lord do in my life and speak that truth over me again.
Yeah.
Because it was just this rattling moment of self-confidence, like, whoa, I don't know what to do anymore. And this just feels really hard and really painful.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great. Some of those champions got on the phone, encouraged me. Some of them threatened to get in the car and drive 8 hours to come and tell those people what was up.
I'm sure, right.
Had a lot of good defenders in my life during that season. And the school itself rallied around me and decided at that moment they would never send a camp team back to that camp again.
Yeah.
So that was one of those moments where it felt like it would be easy to give up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had great people speak truth into my life.
Love that.
And then another moment, and this has honestly been an ongoing thing when it comes to being a woman in ministry. I think we constantly are finding the line to walk of keep your head down and just do what God's asked you to do, but then also using the influence you have to promote and support other women.
Yeah.
And different people constantly in my 15 years of ministry have pulled and pushed me to do either of those. It's this constant checking in with my own spirit of why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this? God, if that's what you're asking me to do, like that's really risky and I don't want to do it because a lot of people have a lot of really hateful opinions. Mm-hmm. And so I'd rather keep my head down and I'd rather just do the work you have in front of me. But there have been moments where I haven't been able to hide and it's been taken more into the limelight and you've had to deal with the criticism and the comments. But it is figuring out that balance of how do you walk as a woman in ministry with grace and with compassion and also hold a mantle for the women that are coming after you and teach them how to do it well.
Oh, she's so great. And yeah. Somebody that we're going to get to know throughout the rest of the new year.
Yeah, she's a great new friend.
Well, we close out the program with Rachel Grindle. Next week, we're going to be talking about the new year, Castix's vision. It is a New Year's Day show.
Yeah, it's a brand new start, a new beginning. We're so excited for 2017. We want to invite you along in the journey with us as we go and we're advancing the kingdom and see God do things through the earth, through his church, through worship, through unity. It's an incredible time.
We'll have a special guest on the program next week as we explore the Father's heart and find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.